So the rabbi pointed out the parsha starts off Isha Kisazria Beyolda Zachar, and then right away it says Beyimishmini Yimoil Basara Lasa. You got to do a bris right away. And Chazal asks, we know we have bris mentioned twice in the Torah. The first time is by Avraham Avinu, and the second time is here. And we're told that the mitzvah that we have to do bris milah was not from Avraham, but it's here. And so the question is, do we learn? We learn pru or vu in Bereishis, and maybe that's the only mitzvah we learn out from Sefer Bereishis. And then everything else, right, is Sinai, and yet we know also that at Morah, before Sinai, Klal Yisrael was given halachas. So I clearly do not have a clear understanding of where and when mitzvos were given, and what is the effective, but we're told by Chazal where the mitzvah is, and I guess we got to figure out why, if it's said earlier, do we wait for Moshe Rabbeinu's annunciation? The rabbi told an interesting story last night about Mila. And he said, someone with a bal tshuva in Eretz Yisrael had a baby boy, and he had a very large family, and he wanted to invite everybody to the bris. Most of them were not totally observant, or as they like to say in Eishet Torah, not yet frum. And they all said, sure, we'll come, but where you're located, what they needed between 2 and 3 hours, because it was going to be a Sunday morning, they needed that amount of time to get there. And so he had a question in his mind, and he said, what's more important? We know there's a concept that when Avram went to the Akedah, it says, Vayashkem Avram Baboker, Avram got up early, Zerizus. Someone who wants to do a mitzvah tries to do it as early as possible to basically show your commitment and you're willing to go in a right, revving your engine first moment. So that's an important mitzvah, but also we know that a bris there's a concept of beroiv hadras melech. When you have a lot of people or more people, it is somehow enhances the glory of the Rabboni Shel Olam. So Rav Zilberstein was asked the question, what's more important? Should I make a bris at 8 o'clock in the morning and not have my extended family there? Because they're not going to get up at 3 a.m. to drive where I am here in, you know, one of the smaller cities in Eretz Yisrael? Or is it better to wait and have the people here? And Rav Zilberstein, they were talking and learning, and he wasn't initially deciding, he writes in his Sefer. And then he asked, he said, if your family comes, if your uncles, your aunts, your cousins come, etc., and they see that you're having a bris, and they see the rabbonim who you deal with, the rabbis who basically taught you and brought you along to be a bal tshuva, and the other ones you come in contact with, and they see this very chashuv gathering of people, will they be impressed? And he said, yes, I think they'll be impressed. Then he says, yeah, maybe one of them will do an extra mitzvah or whatever. He says, that's the trump card. When it comes to getting more people to do mitzvahs, he said, that trumps the Zerizus aspect. Turning back to the parsha specifically, we know that Tuma was created by Nevela, by a dead animal carcass, and now and other things, and now the Torah is going to turn to the type of Tuma that somehow emanates from secretions from the human body. The lady who gives birth, right? Anida, Azava, a Metzora, and as well as Zav and a Metzora, a man, right? There's a concept of Balkari, that any man who has any mission at any time, whether in relations or not, somehow needs a Tahara as well, although Ezra did away with that because people couldn't, and they weren't running to the mikveh every day like the Hasidim. And if you didn't run to the mikveh every day, on the days you went, people would know, oh, you know what he did last night, which is not considered to be sneistic. So the question becomes, we know in last week's Parsha in Shmini, we talked about the Shratzim, animals and things of that nature, and human beings' lack of being Tahar or being Tame comes here. And the answer is, what is this order? And we're told that this is the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the earth, created the world. Adam was the last creation, and therefore the halachos, which refer to the tamei aspect of humans, came after animals. And they point to a chazal that says one of the reasons that human beings were created last was to put a level of anivus, humble feelings. Don't think yourself so great, even the ant was created before you. And it says, do you not realize that if you fail to keep Hashem's mitzvos, right? You're really, you were the purpose of creation. And maybe if you don't keep mitzvahs, all you're making a statement is, I'm just a better animal. I'm Darwin's ape transformation. Tathria deals with the various tamei categories. And one of the Mephoreshim says you should consider that where did human life begin after Adam? It is from a drop of semen, right? And not only that, when you were born, for whatever reason, you made your mother into a state of tamei, and so don't think of yourselves as so high and mighty. We learned yesterday that the reason why a woman becomes tamei is that beforehand she had two neshamas in her, now she has one less, and so somehow on a spiritual plane it requires some sort of tikkun, some type of spiritual correcting device. We also know that the highest level of Tumah is the Avi Avot HaTameh, which is the mace, right? And human beings have the ability to reach this level of Tumah, whereas an animal can only become an av, the second level. We learn in the Parsha, if a woman gave birth to a male, there's 7 days of Tumah, and a female, 14 days. And the Mephorshim point out, and the Mechaber of this Sefer as well, that one of the reasons for the Nida concept was so that there be a time in the month when spouses had to become separate, and in that way it would have a positive effect in that they would have greater longing for devotion, for intimacy later on. In other words, when you can't have something, it looks better and it builds up your wanting. And it says in the Gemara that HaKadosh Baruch Hu always wanted a husband to consider his wife as his kala, newlywed. That's the proper attitude. When a woman finished the 7 or 14 days in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, she, right, was now considered pure in terms of regaining intimacy with her husband, but there was still a level of tumah or lack of tahara vis-a-vis to the Beis HaMikdash, being able to go back in to the Beis HaMikdash. She would be unable to go there. She could not eat part of korbanos that her husband might have brought. If she was a kohenes, she couldn't eat truma. For a full 40 days after the birth of a boy and 80 days after the birth of a girl. After these periods, there was a mitzvah and a requirement to bring the korban hayoledes, the korban of the woman who gave birth. It was either a turtle dove or pigeon as a chatos, and the lamb as an oila. And if she could not afford the lamb, she was allowed to bring a second pigeon or turtle dove. And the Mephorshim say, we can understand that a woman can give an oila after giving birth. An oila is basically shvach to the Rabboni Shel Olam. And Hashem has delivered the woman from what was a dangerous reality, especially in the days in the desert of giving birth, when the mortality of women in childbirth was not a great rate. And so we understand. But why the chatos? What sin is she guilty of? And they say that when a woman is in the throes of a feeling of, they say death, I would rather say tremendous weakness during delivery, when she can experience the greatest of all pain, right? She says, that's it. I'm never going through this again. I'm not getting myself back into this position. As soon as the baby's born, she takes a look at this beautiful Kaddish new person, and all those feelings fall away. And it seems that HaKadosh Baruch Hu feels a woman has got to do some type of atonement for that groaning in pain and complaining. Someone else says, no, what you're doing is you're trying to repair the sin that Eve, Chava, brought to the earth with the snake and the fruit in Gan Eden, and her sin was that she would have to go through labor to have children. And if not for that, we read yesterday, there would have been conception and immediate birth. It would have been a totally different experience. And we're told as well that had Adam and Chava not sinned, the whole notion of sex being something separate from procreation would not have occurred. It would have been a different reality. The Yetzer Hara for sex would have not been instilled in human people. So it says, if that's the case, they want to say, well, maybe the Ola is the Korban, which basically is given because of the woman's difficult, inappropriate comments during childbirth, and the Chatos is really for the mother of all mankind, Chava. The Mefarshim then go into why day 8 is a day of a bris. So one thing says HaKadosh Baruch Hu determined that the first time a baby has the appropriate koyach to endure a bris is in 8 days. A child bris is considered as if the child is bringing himself or being brought as a type of sacrifice to the Shekhinah. And every korban, it says, had to live through a Shabbos before it could be brought. And the only way to ensure that a baby would be brought through a Shabbos before the bris was to make it then day 8. Hashem said, unless a baby has gone through the Shabbos Malka, the Queen Shabbos, and has had the ability to absorb Kedushas Shabbos, the sanctity of Shabbos, it is not to go through a bris. It's not ready. And the question is, we know we have the Kisei Shel Eliyahu at every bris, and we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends Eliyahu HaNavi to each bris, because it tells a story that in Malachim, Eliyahu was a Kanoi, right? He was a zealot for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's honor. And it seems at a stage he said, B'nei Yisroel have forsaken the bris. He meant Mila, because Achav, the wicked king Achav, forbid doing brisim. And it says HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't appreciate this. And He therefore told Eliyahu, your level of zealousness is over the top for the klal, and therefore appoint Elisha, your student, as the Navi in your place, and I am going to give you the responsibility to appear at every bris milah that does occur, right? And to give Adas testimony that this child did have milah. We're told, it's a Gemara, that Turnus Rufus, the emperor, said to Rabbi Akiva, whose work is greater, HaKadosh Baruch Hu or man's? Rabbi Akiva said, man's. Turnus Rufus said, what? Are you going to tell me that a human being can create something that resembles heaven and earth? Rabbi Akiva said, no. I'm not talking about those acts which are not in the human realm, things which are beyond any human's abilities. Rather, I'm talking about the actions a human being is capable of doing. And Tunis Rufus says, hold on. I don't understand something. HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates a child, and you go ahead and you mutilate it with a bris. And Rabbi Akiva said, I knew that's where you were going. And that's why I wanted to tell you that what a human being accomplishes is greater than of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he said, I have such a hard time with this. Philosophically, you got to show me that there's any truth to it. Rabbi Akiva went home to his wife, and he said, I want you to bake for me a beautiful loaf of bread using the finest oil, vinegar, and spices. Mm-hmm. When he went to the emperor, he says, we're going to look at two things. In my right hand, I have a bread. In my left hand, I have the kernels of wheat, which were used to make this bread. Which is superior, your majesty? And Tunis Rufus said, the bread, of course. He said, hold on. Human beings make bread. HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates the grain. And yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the human being the task to take the grain, not eat it like a cow or donkey, but refine it, bake it into bread. And he also gave human beings the ability to take the vegetations in the field and also cook it, spice it. He said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted human beings to have the mitzvah of perfecting the child. And I'll give you another example. He said, we know that when a baby's born, we have to sever the umbilical cord. That was God's creation also. Why? The Chachamim tell us, Rabbi Akiva ended the conversation at this point. But it says, Chazal says, the reason why a child comes into the world without a bris milah is to allow us to have the mitzvah of l'hichnisai b'vrisai shel Avraham Avinu. That we can do the mitzvah of having the child enter into Avram Avinu's covenant. It says, on the last day, the great day of judgment, Avram Avinu will stand at Gehenna, and he will look at all Klal Yisroel. And if anybody, if any angel tries to bring a person there who had a mila, Avraham says, no, it cannot happen. It says that the bris mila, even to the hardened sinners, creates an ability for rejuvenation. But it says that if there are abject Rishoyim who had a bris, and there is no salvation, I don't know what that means, Chazal says Avram Avinu is going to take the collected foreskin from the children who did not live, attach it to the Rishoyim, so that they can burn in Gehenna. Okay, the rabbi's here, and it's time for his shiur. I'm going to hang up. Have a wonderful day. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Gary.
Bye.
Bye.